Chasers, and happy September 14th. It is Tuesday, which means we are back with a new week of Pop Chaser. Hopefully yesterday on Monday, you listened to the new episode of TV Watch Repeat. Kate and I cover the pilot of Survivor. Now, I love Survivor. It's coming back this month, I think September 22nd. And so reliving the first episode really was just so fun for me because it sets the groundwork for reality television, specifically competition reality television. If you are a fan or if you've even seen one season, so many fun facts in that episode. So go check that out on the TV Watch Repeat feed. Now, I am Allison. I am the host of Pop Chaser, a daily pop culture podcast brought to you by The Dip. And just like every week, I am here to dissect the entertainment headlines of the day. What a day it was yesterday. I am so excited to get in to all of it. I have not forgotten about one thing since I saw it last week, and it carried me through the entire Twitter experience of the Met Gala last night. And that is this Gawker blind item. I don't know who it is. I would love for you guys to tweet me with your suspicions. There are three Gawker blind items that came out about the Met Gala prior to the evening. As a heads up, you needed to have proof of vaccination to attend the Met Gala this year. So that's why all of these are focused towards COVID. So this is the first one. Which two supermodels, a candle and a Christian wife, have procured fake vaccination cards for the event? What? I have suspicions, but I have my suspicions. Which famous family sibling and his singer girlfriend broke the new rules and won't get vaccinated? They might share one kiss, but not at the Versace table, which has replaced them with a newly minted, frequently papped couple who may arrive on a bike. Okay, that's obviously Channing Tatum and Zoe Kravitz, reported here on Pop Chaser weeks ago. Love that for them. The famous family sibling and his singer girlfriend sounds like Anwar Hadid and maybe Dua Lipa, but I love Dua Lipa. She has a tour coming out next year. Tickets go on sale on Friday. You heard it here. I will be there at midnight if that's how Ticketmaster works. I don't even know anymore. I hope it's not them. Third one, which actress claims that she will be filming the second season of her hit show instead of attending the Met Gala because she's not actually vaccinated? Anyway, tweet me, Instagram, whatever you want to do. I want to know who you think all of these are about. Let's get into the headlines of the day. Let's start with a movie that I'm quite excited about. With you all the time. Okay, so I have been following the Don't Worry, Darling film production since day one. This is the movie with Olivia Wilde and Harry Styles, where they, I believe, met, also starring Florence Pugh. Olivia Wilde posted on Instagram a teaser for the movie, and that's what I just played before this segment. And that's all it is. It is, I think, 10 seconds long. Doesn't really give you much to go off of, but it is very sexy looking. If you want to watch Harry Styles make out with Florence Pugh for 0.1 seconds, I encourage you to go to Olivia Wilde's Instagram. But what is this movie about? Now, it's very highly anticipated. Shia LaBeouf was supposed to be in the role of Jack, which is now played by Harry Styles. He left the film. Harry came in. Jason Sudeikis and Olivia broke up. I don't know the exact timeline, you guys, but this is the movie that we've all been waiting for. So what is it about? It is considered a socially conscious thriller by W Magazine. They called it a socially conscious thriller, kind of comparative to maybe Get Out. People are suggesting that it'll be relevant to the Me Too Time's Up conversations. This is the logline, about a 1950s housewife, Florence Pugh, living with her husband, Harry Styles, in a utopian experimental community where she begins to worry that his glamorous company may be hiding disturbing secrets. So it I mean, as you can tell from that teaser, very tense. Seems like shrouded in mystery. I'm so excited about it. I have some bad news, though. It does not come out until September 2022. I feel like that's a tease. You can't just drop a teaser and then be like, oh, by the way, this is going to be coming out in a year from now. The good news is I'll still be hooked. I'll still be waiting with bated breath, but I want it now. I almost would have rather not seen the teaser because this movie is up my alley. I love a thriller. I love something mysterious happening behind the scenes. From the trailer, you get kind of Pleasantville vibes, but you just know not all is right. You know, there are certain things that are off. And I can't wait to find out. Chris Pine is in. I mean, the cast is unbelievable. Chris Pine is in it. Olivia Wilde herself is in it. Gemma Chan, Kiki Lane, Nick Kroll, Cate Berlant. If you're just a comedy fan, Cate Berlant is fantastic. Timothy Simmons, who plays all I can think of is his name, Jonad. Jonah from Veep. Because Jonad is a nickname. If you've watched the show, you appreciated that joke. And if you didn't, you're like, what the hell is she talking about? Anyway, 9/23/22 so far. But you know what? We'll just have to patiently wait. Okay, let's move on to the next.
How we approach her has to be.
I fully respect somebody's feelings. But you can't use it as an excuse to mistreat other people, which is what she has done for a year.
Okay.
And continues
but
to
do you feel like I feel like she's been mistreated too?
An unwarranted vendetta against my family. I have not done anything to Jennifer Shaw.
Henry, look at this. It's the holy bread for the Jews.
Okay, I would be remiss if we did not discuss Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. If you want a full 30-minute dissection of this episode that premiered on Sunday, I recommend you go to the Hot Off the Mess podcast feed where I discuss the premiere with Samantha Bush, aka Bravo Historian. I'll play a little clip right here so you can listen.
Would you stay friends with someone if they were part of a telemarketing scheme?
Here's the thing, and I thought about this last night. Wouldn't you have a tough time walking away because you want to know all the drama?
Oh my God, 100%. I know myself, and I know that I would be like, we're going for drinks and we're going to talk.
Like, so what's happening? Like, look, if it's an like the allegations against the Girardis, I'm probably going to distance my, I probably would be more of a Sutton as long as I could still get invited to the dinner parties.
100%.
But like for this one, white collar. And I know she like allegedly defrauded senior citizens, which so sad. That's why everyone should just have a jitterbug phone. I would be curious.
That is just a fraction of what we discuss. Again, please, please, please go and listen to that conversation on the Hot Off the Mess podcast feed. But I do want to discuss something that Sam and I get into a little bit in the podcast, but has really been haunting me. Now, I know that perhaps I'm being a bit dramatic, but I can't really shake the whole Meredith, Lisa conversation that occurred at the end of the episode, because Meredith is really upset that Lisa seems to be friends with Jen Shaw. Now, Meredith is mad about that because in season one, Jen and Meredith obviously did not get along. You know, the whole people are scared of her and blah, blah, blah. But also after filming, Jen had been posting and reposting things of about Brooks Marks, about Meredith, about her family that obviously Meredith just did not jive with. So Meredith, being pretty set in her ways that she is not a friend of Jennifer Shaw's, is trying to figure out why Lisa is so friendly with her, and not only friendly with her, but also defending her. Lisa feels like perhaps Jen has also been wronged in a situation. Now, this kind of is triggering to me because I do feel like I've had experiences with some of my friends who have in the past, and I would say this happened when we were much younger, I would like to think a lot less mature, where my friends have continued to remain friends with people who are really mean to me. And I think that this isn't like therapy hour where I'll get into how that's affected me, but I'm happy to if you would like to collect $300 an hour. But More so, to me, it's not an argument. It is something that if I was friends with somebody who was actively tweeting, reposting things about one of my best friends' sons, to me, it feels like there's no question who is right in this situation. I'm curious what you guys think. I personally would be so upset with Lisa. And Meredith does say that. She says she's very disappointed about it. She's frustrated by it. I'm curious what you're thinking, though, because I always thought of Lisa as somebody who was just a ride or die with Meredith. And I think something that Sam mentioned to me in the podcast that we recorded for Hot Off the Mess is Lisa is somebody who loves the affirmation that Jen Shaw gives her. And that might be a little bit harder to get that from Meredith. I kind of get the vibe that Meredith is somebody who's just not constantly giving you glowing affirmation. So I think Jen knows that Lisa loves that and she gives it to her. Other quick things that I will just say, I think Jenny is fantastic. I'm so excited to have her on this season. What a season to come in as your first season. This is a dream season to enter into. You don't want to enter into one where it's just like, there's no drama. Imagine if you entered into like Beverly Hills Housewives and the drama is puppy gate. Like what a letdown that would be. If I came in, I would, and now I'm saying this just as a hypothetical joking situation, I'd probably frame somebody for some type of a legal scandal. That way I can just make sure it's a fun season. I can embed myself in real thick and then I'll come back for a season two. And if we ever get to that, you guys, I was joking. I was joking. I don't want this to ever be brought up as evidence. Will I cut it out? No, I won't, because realistically, I'm probably never going to be on The Housewives. But if I am, that was a joke. Okay, let's move on to the next thing.
Well, the drama kept coming up because there were tentacles of the drama that involved, you know, all the other ladies. I will say we did a big chunk of her marital drama earlier in the day. And then I would say the last 90 minutes was a very spirited conversation about the case and what's going on.
Does she admit to anything? Does she say, hey, I knew it all along? Or
anything
like that?
She answers everything.
Oh, shit.
I think that I asked her everything. I mean, the viewers had amazing questions. And I feel that we represented the tenor of what the viewers were feeling.
Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, we love it. We love to hate it. Just kidding. We don't hate it. We love to love it. Obviously, it is winding down. I'm getting nervous. They filmed the reunion last Friday. Now, Andy was on Radio Andy, and he gave us a little bit of a hint at what we can expect. I played that at the beginning of the clip, but he later went on to discuss what actually they grilled Erica on. And these are just a couple keywords that you can all expect to hear during that reunion when it drops. Dementia, obviously Tom has been, I suppose, diagnosed with dementia from a doctor and is claiming that has been affecting his memory and potentially his actions. So that is something that they discuss. Erica has also gone on the show and said that she's noticed Tom slipping, you know, mentally as well. They talk about widows and orphans. Thank God. They talk about the cheating scandal. Now, if they don't get into how messy that was, I'll be so upset. I think on the show, totally glossed over because there was so much other stuff happening at the time. But Erica posted some straight up Nokia screenshots that then just disappeared. Internet is forever, thank God. So glad that I said I would frame somebody in the segment before this. And I would love to know what happened. What happened from beginning, middle, and end of her posting those things? Where did she get those screenshots? Why did they look like they were from a music video in the early 2000s? Why did she delete it? What's happening with any type of, I mean, she, this is with, like, I believe the woman that she alleged Tom had an affair with is like a judge. So these are just not people I feel like you want to cross when it comes to making those types of allegations. But what do I know? I only took one business class in high school and we watched The Office. Who owes what? Like, where did the money go? Who does the money belong to? That's something that I feel like Erica has not talked about a lot. I think at one point Garcelle says at the dinner party from Hell 2.0, or maybe even another dinner party from, I don't know, the eighth circle of hell, just not all the way down. She says, you know, the victims deserve the money. And Erica, I think, touched on, like, of course they do. I would love to hear her speak on that more. She talks about court and potential jail sentences. Of course, as a reminder, Erica has not been charged with anything. So I don't think at this point it's like, are you going to jail? It's, I would assume the conversation is more, are you concerned that it could lead to that? But again, she hasn't been charged with anything. So we don't want to jump the gun too much in these conversations, because all she's going to just keep saying is, I haven't been charged with anything. Also, Andy confirms there were no walk-offs this season. None. Which is pretty fantastic, because I think this seems like, if I had to put money on who would walk off right now, I want you guys to all think in your head, who would walk off the Beverly Hills reunion set? 1, 2, 3, Sutton. Of course it would be Sutton, but I'm so glad to hear that she held her own. I think that this is probably going to be a very hard reunion for her. I think she gets very flustered. So I, you know, I'm a little concerned for her, but all she needs to do is have a drink before, calm it down, girl. And it sounds like she faced everybody head on. So, so, so happy about that. Speaking of facing everybody head on, I'd love to quickly discuss the seating chart for the Beverly Hills reunion. So Andy is obviously dead center, always has been, always will be. To one side, you have Kyle, Garcelle, and Sutton. And now that is one couch. On the other side, you have, and this is from Andy to the end of the couch, Erica, Lisa Rinna, Dorit, Crystal. So that's another couch. Kathy only shows up for part of the reunion. Very sad. But again, we've always said we don't want Kathy as a full-time housewife. So this is really what we've been asking for. And she sits between Kyle and Garcelle. So just in case she didn't know which one was which, she's able to just kind of usher to those around her, and she'll get Kyle, she'll get Garcelle, because she always thinks that they're the same person. What does this seating chart tell us, though? I kind of feel like it's very telling. First of all, you have Erica to the right of Andy, as she should be. I'm not really sure why Kyle is to the left of him, but I feel like Kyle at this point is just kind of grandfathered into that spot. Has her butt cheeks already like embedded in the memory foam couch. So I'm not against it. I'm just kind of like, why? And then having Kyle, Garcelle, Sutton on the same couch tells me that they will be facing the other women. So who? Garcelle is going to be facing Lisa Rinna and Dorit, of course. Sutton's going to be facing Crystal. I think that it feels like a sparring match that I'm very, very, very ready for. And yeah, I think it's going to be fantastic. I think Andy sounded very enthusiastic about it. So let's cross our fingers that there's no overhyping here and that it's just as great as it sounds. Okay, you guys, that is it for today. Thank you so much for listening to Pop Chaser. Again, check out Hot Off the Mess and the bonus episode that Sam and I recorded Monday. It's really good, and it really, really gets into all of the nitty gritty of Salt Lake City premiere. I will be back tomorrow for more Pop Chaser. Until then, check out thedip.com. Use the promo code POPCHASER for 50% off your annual subscription. And until tomorrow with the newest headlines, cheers.